turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua, and preach from that this morning, but I want to read one verse out of Joshua chapter 3. So if you would, turn there, please, and stand together, then we'll go back to one verse or two in the book of Deuteronomy. After the sermon tonight, for a little while, I want us to gather around the altar and pray for our nation. Politically, I know we all have our views. Everybody's got opinions. But when you turn away from the Word of God and from God, you're in trouble. And we don't need that in America. But let's pray for that. Pray for the upcoming election this year. And pray for each other and pray for God to give us a measure of revival in these last days. Chapter 3, Israel is getting ready to cross over to the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. Let's just read verse 9 and 10. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. I could add the termites probably to the end of that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 1 and 2. I like to hear the rustling of pages. That's great. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land which thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites. Seven nations together, greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, that thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor mercy unto them. That's pretty straightforward talking from God through Moses and Joshua. Seven enemies for Israel. They correspond with seven particular evil spirits that come against every child of God. And I want to talk about the first one of those tonight on my list. Sometimes they're given in different chronological order, or different order, not chronological, but sometimes they'll put one before the other that may be different in the other list. But seven different spirits that confronted the people of God in the land of Canaan. Remember, the land of Canaan is victorious Christian living. Yeah. And remember, you got a battle you got to face all the way through. He has seven, which is a number of completion. And there are seven enemies they had to face. And each one of those enemies corresponds to an enemy that I believe that we have to face. So I want to talk about that tonight. One of the seven enemies of Israel in the Promised Land. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be in church tonight. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for your blessings to us. And Lord, help us to say that which needs to be said tonight. Leave unsaid that which does not need to be said. May I take the role, Lord, of a pastor teacher tonight, and may, Lord, I be able to say that which I need to say as it relates to the enemy that we face. And, Father, nobody's immune to what I'm going to talk about. I know I'm not. And I believe all of us need to be honest with ourselves and honest with our God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in a very special way in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. These seven nations, demonic, demon-inspired, set against God and God's people. Each nation has a lesson for us tonight. And I want to begin with the Hittites, H-I-T-T-I-E-S. You can look up probably in many places a little composite description of each of these seven. And I've listed all of mine beginning with the letter F. And what they represent to us as Christians in the 21st century. By the way, the devil's been around a long time. And he's going to be around until the trump of God sounds, and then he's going to be around until he's finally picked up and literally thrown in to the lake of fire, along with the Antichrist and the false prophet. I'm glad, I said this morning, we're on the winning side. You say, how do you know? I read the last chapter in the book Revelation, and we're going to win. But in the meantime, there is a battle that we are encountering over and over again. This is a definition or a composite of what is said about the Hittites. The one who is broken, who fears the son of Teros. Out beside of that, I wrote the word fears. All would agree some fear is good. The Bible says that we are to fear God and keep his commandments, does it not? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge throughout the book of the Proverbs. And so we'd all say it's good to fear God, but we fear him in a reverential fear that we respect who he is. Matthew 10 says that we are not to fear man, but to fear God, who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There ought to be a holy fear tonight that grips this world, but it's not there. The Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. When you read Romans chapter 1 through 3 and get down to chapter 3 and see the great list of all the sins that are committed against God, then Paul said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I put down something like this. The F stands for forces. The E in the letter fear stands for engaged. And the A stands for against. And the R stands for resources, or forces engaged against resources. I put down another one. F stands for future. E stands for enemy. A stands for alarms. R stands for reality. The future enemy alarms reality. Now, I'm not in heaven yet, and you're not either. And you're going to have some more battles to fight. How many's ever had a battle you believe really with Satan? Raise your hand. I mean, you know you had a battle with the devil. Now, I know about the little boy in Sunday school, and the teacher said, how many of you are afraid of the devil? And everybody raised their hand except one little boy. And she said, how many is afraid of the devil? And everybody's hand went up except that one little boy. And she said, Johnny, she said, aren't you afraid of a powerful being who's next in power to God, who's evil and wicked and can do many things against us, and he's terrible and he's a monster, he's a liar, he's just big? He said, oh, I'm afraid of a big devil. You give me one of them little devils, I'll whip him every time. Well, sometimes we may feel like we can whip the devil, but I'm no match for him. And you're not either. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But I'm going to tell you what is sapping the life out of many of us tonight is just fear. It is demonic, the wrong kind of fear. That which comes from the Hittites, you could call them the terrorists of their day. And they went up and down the land doing havoc and causing fear in everybody they come against. And I believe the devil is the leader of all of that behind the scenes to create fears in our life. The Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear. About the end of time and the prophecy about the second coming, whether it's prior to the tribulation period or after the tribulation period, when that verse is given, I do believe it's escalating. I believe there's people who are literally scared to death about what's going to come upon this world. Let's turn just a moment to Luke chapter 21 and just read a verse or two. Luke chapter 21 in the New Testament, and see what Jesus said himself concerning the end of time before Jesus would come back again. Chapter 21 and verse, let's read 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking for after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. My daddy had a sermon called A Lot of Shaking Going On. When God shakes this earth, when God unleashes his wrath in the days of the tribulation period, You say, well, preacher, that's relating to the tribulation period. I think every sign of the coming of the Lord intensifies as we get closer to the rapture. I mean, every time the earth quakes, it's God's way of saying and groaning, and the earth is saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Every time there's a new pestilence that comes on the scene like we're facing today, it's the Lord trying to get our attention and say, the Lord Jesus is going to come again. Now, our hearts can be filled with fear, and there's a right kind of fear. Reverence God. I'm not going to stand out in front of a Mack truck and say, God, I'm going to trust you to save me, to keep me from getting run over. He'd say, idiot, get out of the way. Yeah, just get out of the way. Don't tempt me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so some people like to tempt God. They kid us in West Virginia about handling snakes. How many has ever been in the snake service? Nobody? Well, let me just see if we got some here. Boy, West Virginia and Kentucky are noted for handling snakes. You get together in a church and bring up the box of snakes, and then the pastor, if I was a pastor, I'd delegate it to the assistant pastor to go in and bring out the rattlesnakes and see how they do. If you got faith, it can bite you, but not kill you. Now, there's a lot of those old preachers just, they're dead. You know, they tempted the Lord their God. Now, I'm not a snake handling Baptist, but I like to handle one snake. And that's the serpent. And I can't fight him by myself. And I can't handle him by myself. But I'm glad that God helps us to overcome the weaponry and the forces of the devil and the demons and the cohorts of hell. There is help in Jesus Christ. Amen. Always has been, always will be. And so it is, the terror came and comes, and the men's hearts failing them when they see what's going to happen. Can you imagine what happened in the Depression in 1929, 1930? Do you know what happened when the Depression hit America? Multi-millionaires jumped out of windows. They couldn't cope with it. They literally wanted to commit suicide, because almost instantaneously, when the stock market fell, they couldn't handle it anymore. Somebody says, preacher, my stock's going down since this threat of this new disease that's coming out of China or wherever it's coming out of, and the stock market's coming down. Well, what if you lose it all? You say, I will commit suicide. There's no way I can make it if I lose everything on the stock market. Now, let's just help me, would you? And you help yourself. There was a God before there ever was a stock market. And if she goes all the way to the bottom, God says, all right, big boys, you've lived your life, you've tried to get along without me, you think you can handle things, let me just start one little virus in China and send it your way. Because every time they get a cure for one virus, another virus creeps up. And I believe they'll escalate and continue until the end of time. And Christians don't need to be full of panic and fear about what's coming upon this world. We should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And we should be alert and ready for whatever may come. I hear all the time, and excuse me for chasing a rabbit. Now, if I catch a rabbit, it's good. I won't chase one just a minute. I'm all for preparing. You know, back in the year 2000, folks took water, saved up water. We did. We took some extra water in case something would happen. We was waiting on 2000 to come in. The computer system was going to go wild, and they couldn't handle 2000. And what was that? Y2K. The Y2K. And listen, there's folks there getting scared. You know what happened when I looked at my computer? Just nothing. It just turned right over and did what it's supposed to do. You say, but what if it had not? There is a God. And no matter what assails our soul, I like what Mr. Horatio said when he wrote that song. It is well with my soul. I know not what we shall face in the future. I know that I could be trembling in my boots. I know that I can be afraid, but I don't want to have the wrong kind of fear. For David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So it is wrong for us Christians to fear the devil. You ought to understand who he is and fear God so he can help defeat the devil. But the devil is no match for God. Would you agree with me? You've had your battles. You've had your problems. 10,000 letters a week used to come in to Ann Landers. that there were sisters, one, Dear Abby and Dear Ann. Many of you probably wrote to them trying to get help. Dear Ann, she said out of the 10,000 letters a week she got, the majority of the letters were about fear. That's from a secular viewpoint. That's from a lady who, what, I believe is Jewish. But she said the most of the letters about how to cope with fear. And fear comes upon us and anxiety. And we wonder, where in the world is God? He's the same place He's always been. He has not vacated. He has not abdicated His throne. He is sitting on the throne of the universe. And God is still in charge. And He will be until the stars fall from heaven like untimely figs, until the moon turns to blood, until the sun turns to sackcloth of ashes. God will always be where He's always been. And nothing catches God off guard. Description of fear. Fear is a phobia. There's 700 kinds of them. Now, all of us got some. Let's be honest. How many of you got a phobia of something? You're afraid of something. Raise your hand. How many of you are afraid of spiders? God bless you. Only good spider is a dead spider. How many is afraid of mice? Mouse. My wife, listen, you got to pray for me at the house. We live out in the country, and when a mouse comes in the garage, if I don't solve that problem, I got to bring out a 12-gauge shotgun to handle this matter. I mean, she's not going in the house if she sees a mouse on the way in or getting in the house somewhere. She ain't going to rest until I find that mouse. And when I find that, she says, honey, it's that big. It's the biggest mouse I've ever seen in my life. And when you finally find it, it's about like that. And she says, that's a real varmint right there. Get rid of it. And so I flush it down the commode. Gone, gone, gone. We have a few snakes occasionally. How many are afraid of snakes? I don't like snakes. The only good snake is the dead snake, in my opinion. And I know there's some good snakes out there. Go ahead and pet them. Go ahead and have them. You can have them all you want to. We was at a flea market here a while back, and this lady, she was walking around with a boa constrictor all the way around her shoulder. Ever seen that? I mean, she had a boa constrictor. You put it out there and stretch it out, it was taller than she was. And she was walking around petting that. She's an idiot. Now, you say, preacher, I don't mind. Well, you're an idiot. And if I do it, I'm an idiot. I'm afraid of snakes. I don't like snakes. The last snake I shot, I did take a 12-gauge shotgun, and it was a black snake. And I know they're good snakes. But I blew it to smithereens. How many's got a phobia of height? Wow. How many of you cannot fly on an airplane? Oh, my goodness. We had a deacon one time. His favorite verse of scripture, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I'm not flying. We had one lady in our church who was afraid to go across railroad tracks. Remember? She would drive all the way out of the way before she'd go across a railroad track. Everybody's got a phobia. Let me give you a few. Julius Caesar, the great warrior, he trembled every time it thundered. Peter the Great, the Tsar of Russia, he was in complete fear and anxiety when he crossed a bridge. Howard Hughes, the famous millionaire who was afraid of germs, remember? Four boxes of Kleenexes a day. Some of us don't use that many in 3 years. Evel Knievel, ever heard of him? I saw where one of his kin people got killed doing one of them jumps the other day. Evel Knievel, not afraid to jump the Grand Canyon, but he would not fly on an airplane. Isn't that hard to figure out? Louis Pasteur, who was a scientist, had irrational fear of dirt. When we were kids, we loved dirt. We ate dirt. We had dirt. It didn't matter. Dirt was good for us. I thought it was part of your diet. President and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison, Brother Tommy, were intimidated by electricity. As a matter of fact, when they put it in the White House, back then, I don't know how it was, they would not touch the switches, afraid they would be executed. Wow. Just a phobia. Now, I know we all have some, and I'm not making light of those tonight, but there's some hurtful fears that destroy us. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It's amazing sometimes how we're afraid of other people, you know, and other folks can intimidate us. You know, I've testified many times, and when I go through the book of Timothy, I can identify with Timothy, and I can also identify with Joshua because of my timidity, my shyness. How many of you basically are shy Would you raise your hand, please? Now, some of you are extroverts. Oh, you're out there. You don't mind. My daddy was like, he can meet anybody, anywhere, anytime. It didn't matter. He's just able to do that. But I was sort of a shy type of guy. I mean, I was waiting on the girls to come and ask me for a date. I stand over in the corner waiting. I knew they would get a good catch if they'd come. But the problem is they wouldn't come. And I remember back in those days fighting acne and all that stuff you have on your face as a teenager and wondering how come the girls don't come flocking at you. And then you find out I even used Brill Cream, a little dab of Dilia. I wore karate cologne, thought I could fight off the women, you know, if they started coming after me. You know what I found out? I found out karate cologne, Brill Cream, and all the other smelly stuff didn't help me one bit. That was just a sales thing, you know what I mean? But the fact is, the phobias that people have sometimes escalate when it comes down to men. I'll get back to it in just a moment. One of the greatest fears people have is getting up before people. Now, I've been preaching since I was 18 years old, and I'm 73. I remember those early days. Frightened, scared, waiting. I hear the preacher say something like this: "We can't hardly wait to hear what Brother Paulie has for us tonight." And I was under my breath. I can't hardly wait either, Lord. What is it? What am I going to say? And sometimes from there, waiting on an introduction, I get butterflies in my stomach. Have you ever been there? We got butterflies. You're about ready to speak somewhere or sing. I don't do a lot of it singing, but I do preaching. And when I go off to a start, I'll be going somewhere in April to preach. And sometimes that first few minutes, there's a little bit of anxiety because it's a new setting and new people and et cetera. And I don't get too nervous here, but I still have a little bit of reservations even preaching after all these years because that's my personality. Did you know Joshua was timid? You know, Joshua was shy. He was backward because God had to tell him several times, "Be of good courage, Joshua. Don't you be afraid, Joshua. You be ready to go face the battle. And remember, I'm with you as I was with Moses, so will I be with you." Timothy, that young preacher, he said, "You be of a sound mind, Timothy. Don't you be defeated as you pass to the church at Ephesus. You stay in there. You stand for doctrine. You stand for right. You fight the fight. You fight the good fight of faith." And Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. And Timothy, I want you to fight a good fight of faith." Sometimes we all need encouraged in the battle because of our timidity. But there's a fear that can grip you, that can keep you from doing what you ought to do. The fear of man so often comes. The scripture, the hurtful fears, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Boy, that brought conviction to my own soul. Now, I know we're in a process and we're a work in progress. And I know as we progress and mature, we learn better how to trust God and face things and have more faith, or even little faith in a big God. We're able to handle things a lot better. But I'm glad there is no fear in love. And I'm glad that God is the perfection of love. And that definition of God, if you could define him, in addition to his holiness, God is love. God is love. And he casteth out all fear. That's what the Bible says. I've got to have somewhere along the way that I change my value system to trust God or trust me. And when that fear has a way of gripping us and we wonder, "Lord, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this." As Caleb and Kristen prepare to go to Japan, the Lord willing, after they get through orientation, if they get through it all right, Caleb, if you survive orientation, amen, hallelujah, we hope you will, all right. But there is anxiety even going to a foreign field. And sometimes getting on a big old airplane and going to a new culture, you think that's easy? You pull up roots. Caleb, you leave your mother-in-law behind. Caleb, you leave your mother-in-law behind. Becky, you can't go. But there's been many a person who's sought to do the will of God who had some fear on the inside but overcame it by their faith in God and knew God loved them, like the trails going to Baghdad. Listen, with those precious little kids, it could scare the daylights out of most of us. But when you believe it's God's will, amen, that love of God has a way of overcoming the fear you have of man. If I die on a foreign land someday, it should be so be it. If I should die here, then so be it. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready to face whatever I got to face. Lord, give me courage. Tomorrow is just as bright as the promises of God. And I need that tonight. I need to be reminded of that truth. Don't you leave tonight and say the preacher's got it all together. Because most of us in this room are still growing in grace. And we still have fears that we face. But he said there is no fear in love. Well, there's a hurt for fears that grip us. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Talking about getting saved. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'll tell you when you're afraid. How many's ever had surgery and you were nervous about it? Raise your hand. How many's ever prayed before we had surgery? How many said, I wish the Lord somebody else would take my place, you know. And then they give you that juice and put you in La La Land. And after a while, you're over there. And what's really amazing about surgery, and I've had 12 of them. I don't want to face any of them. I don't like any of them. I don't want to go through it again. I remember one time years ago, they prepped me. They put me in a room. It was as cold as a freezer. And I'm laying in there with that little gown they put on you that's not fit for anybody to wear. Can't hardly buckle it in the back at all. It's the most immodest thing to be a modesty dress I've ever seen in my life. And I was laying back there, and it seemed like it was forever before they come and get me. And I'm laying back there shivering. I wanted a warm quilt to put on me or something to relieve that. But I found myself quoting Psalms 23 over and over again. Because there was anxiety that was developing in my soul of souls. I do believe this more today than I used to believe. I believe our acceptance of the Word of God and the program of God and the plan of God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The Lord helps us and sometimes He lets us stay right where we're at physically. Sometimes He takes the pain away, we say often. Sometimes He takes the burden. Other times He allows the burden to stay. Why is that? I said this morning, God is sovereign. He can work with Brian different than He can work with me. Because He knows Brian may need something different than what I need. He may work with Keith over here one way. And definitely God needs to work with Keith some way. Comes up to the window a while ago in our office and pokes his face in the window. All of us gripped with fear and had heart attacks. We never seen anything quite like that. Then he finally come inside, and that was even worse. The Hittites, noted for their fear to intimidate. And blessed be God, we're on God's side. Better still, we're in the hand of God. And in the hand of God, we're protected by the sovereignty of Almighty God. I like that old song. I sing it sometimes, because nobody else will let me sing it. He's got the whole world. In His hand, He's got the whole wide world. In His hand, He's got the whole world. Does He? In His hand, He's got the whole wide world. He got the little bitty baby. In His hand, He's got the little bitty baby. He's got you and me, brother. In His hand, He's got the whole world in His hand. I was watching those kids do those acrobat, what were those, not acrobat, what, hand motions. I thought we'd all stand up and do that a while ago. Sometimes we need to get like a child and just sort of realize what the message was. And His banner over me is love, and love casteth out all fear. Boy, I tell you what you do tonight. You take that to sleep with you. Take it to bed with you. Wrote it over and over again, 1 John 4:18. Read it and digest it. And may I do the same and go to bed with it tonight. You see, the reason why we have so many tough nights, we go to bed with bad news on our minds. I like to watch the news, but I'm getting a little past watching the news before we go to sleep. But I'm telling you what, to watch the news is depressing. Every time Bernie gets on there, I get depressed. And every time I see Mr. Trump, I'm encouraged a little bit. But oh, listen, to go to sleep sometimes in the arms of God. And sometimes we go to sleep, all these anxieties we faced all day long, and we've never learned how to rest and trust God. And now, all of us have problems from time to time sleeping. And all of us have battles we face physically and mentally and emotionally. So don't go out and say, everybody can go to sleep like a baby, because they may have something that's causing the problem. But I do believe that God gives his beloved sleep. And he wants to help us. And I need that. And sometimes we're restless. I remember going through surgery. I couldn't find a place to rest. I mean, I was on the couch. I tried every bed we had. I slept on the floor. I put my feet on the couch. I put my head on the couch. I tried everywhere in the world to get some sleep. And boy, when your sleep begins to leave you, and after a while you're in somnolent, and you wonder, Lord, when will I be able to ever rest? Somewhere along the way, we've got to get a hold of scriptures in the toughest battles. As Lester Roloff said when he was put in prison, and they began to play rock and roll music in his cell. He didn't have his Bible. He said, the only thing that kept my sanity was the quoting of the Word of God from the old King James Bible that I'd memorized all those many years. So there's going to be a time when you can't run to the preacher. There's going to be times you can't run to even find your Bible if it's not with you. He said, hide the Word of God in my heart that I may not sin against him. And so I need to be reminded of that great truth. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, if I take this to its rightful conclusion tonight, any fear that's a hurtful fear comes from Satan. Any fear that comes to me that's a hurtful fear comes from Satan. God may allow it to happen. God could stop it instantaneously, but in the process, he's helping us to understand better the marvelous love of God reaches to the highest star, goes to the lowest hell. If the ocean was filled with ink, and I were a scribe by trade, and I write the parchment sky to begin to write the love of God, the songwriter said, it would drain the ocean dry. God says, I want you to understand how much I really love you, son. I want you to understand I love you more than you can ever imagine, and there's no way you'll ever comprehend my love, because if you comprehend my love completely, you'll be God. You'll never understand me completely, but I want you to know I love you. Now listen, he loves you tonight. He loves me. And sometimes when fear grips our soul, we sometimes think nobody loves me. Sometimes when fear grips us emotionally, we think what's the best answer is just to go ahead and commit suicide. Now, let me ask the question. Has anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, ever thought about suicide? I have. All right? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'll raise mine. You say, preacher, where's your faith? It's a good question. I've come out of meetings and revival meetings where God blessed, and usually the last night of revival, I'd preach on the subject of heaven. I enjoyed preaching on heaven. I preached on hell the night before and heaven the last service. And boy, what a wonderful time we had, a great service. And most time closing out, talking about heaven, going there with their loved ones, and especially meeting Jesus again. And then get in the car. You're driving down the road, and the devil says, you ought to run into that tree right over there. Now, if you've not been there, that's called satanic attack. And don't you get where you think you're above that. You can get so down and so depressed, the only answer is, I just want to die. And that comes to many of us in life. Then we look back and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me and help me to learn the lesson I need to learn? And some of us are a little stubborn. Let me see right now. How many of you are stubborn like me? How many of you are really stubborn? And sometimes God has to do some extra things just to help us to grow in grace. And I was reading this week, and he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. He says, you don't have to have a lot of faith. Somebody said, preacher, I just don't have the faith. We don't have to have a lot of faith. He said, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be he removed into yonder sea, and it will be done. What is it? It's little faith in a big God. Amen. And that little faith, and sometimes that's the reason why children amazes us. And sometimes they can have more faith than what we have because of the fact of their simplicity in childhood. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Defeat comes to us all. Many times it's because of fear. He'll distract you off of your goal, off of your object of your faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews chapter 12, he said, run the race, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, looking unto Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I heard Johnny Pike preach it here in our service. And boy, when he came down on that scripture, he said, you talk about a verse that got a hold of me. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. How come your mind can't stay on Christ? The satanic attack of the demons of hell. And they will attack you, and they will distract you, and they will try to divert you, and they'll think all kind of things that you ought not to think, and you've got to say, Lord, I cast those down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to have victory in my soul. I'm trusting you. D.L. Moody, his thirst for his life was Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid. You see, sometimes it'll keep you from stepping out and trusting the Lord, because you have fear and intimidation. Sometimes it'll cause you not to stand up for Jesus and be a witness for him because you're afraid of those around you. Probably one of the greatest causes for failure to witness is that we're afraid. And through all the soul winning courses you take, one that usually comes up, I'm afraid, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And then you go through helps to try to find out what to say and give your testimony and tell what God's done for you and learn how to present scriptures, and if no other verse, John 3:16. You'd be amazed the more you use scripture, the more courage you have. Amen. More courage you have. Somebody's arguing with you, say, well, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says it. And they say, well, yeah, this is what I believe. I said, well, I'm sorry you believe that way, but let me show you. Here's what the Bible says, and it's what I believe. And there's something about that. The more you quote scripture, the more courage you have to face the battles of life. Let me give you an illustration I'm through. There was a farmer, he was asked by his neighbor, how's your cotton coming along? He said, I didn't plant any. Well, how come? He says, I was afraid of the boll weevil. Well, how's your corn coming along? I didn't plant any. How come? I'm afraid a drought would come. Well, how's your potatoes? I didn't plant any. How come? I'm afraid of the potato bug. Well, what did you plant? He said, I didn't plant anything. I'm playing it safe. You think that went through. You ain't going to eat if you don't step out by faith. And you're not going to eat spiritually until you step out and stand up and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm in the Lord's army. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. And Lord, I believe you. Would you help me with my unbelief? And would you take my doubts and saturate them and put them in the great ocean of God's love until I know you love me and I can face tomorrow. I don't know what's on tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. Makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes we've been down. Sometimes we've been knocked out. Sometimes we've been defeated. And the bottom line is you're afraid. You're afraid. And God cast out all fear by his love. Some of you need to come to the altar tonight. I've been on the altar this week myself. I'm not going to get up and preach to you what I don't practice myself. That's foolishness. And I don't ever get up here and say I've arrived and I'm the authority and I know how to do it. I make enough mistakes to write a book. But I'm grateful that you can learn and mature and grow in grace and learn how to face a lot of battles a lot easier. Don't panic about what's going to come on the earth. Distress of nations. Intensity in earthquakes, intensity of storms and the waves and the water is going to roar and people are going to die all around this world more and more and getting ready for the Lord Jesus to come. That's God's plan and program. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you. And men's hearts failing them because of fear that's coming upon this nation. And there's some folks so afraid right now what's going to happen politically. And I'm all for voting conservatively, right? I'm all for casting my vote and doing what I'm supposed to do. But if we don't get the conservative vote and the socialist takes over this nation, God is still God.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded, have faith in God. We've come this far by faith. That's our theme song. And by faith, we can face the tomorrows.